Good morning. Or some of you might know what I mean when I say this, Ohio. Some of you do, praise God. You know, one of the great blessings and wonders of this Christian life is that God talks to us. Wouldn't y'all say that? I mean, the Lord, he wants to speak to us and have that fellowship. So anyway, he shared a scripture with me this week. It was this past week, and it really meant a lot to me, and it was a blessing to me, but I thought I'd just share it. I'll be real brief. Un momento, por favor. I was going to read it. You don't have to turn there. It's actually in the Amplified Version, but it's in Ephesians. I'm going to pick up, what I want to get to is verse 20, but the background is very important. And it says, "And that you may come to know him personally through personal experience, the love of Christ, which far surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up throughout your being to all the fullness of God, so that you may have the richest experience of God's presence in your lives, completely filled and flooded with God himself." That's good. Now, and this goes right along with this. This is a scripture that came to me. "Now to him who is able to carry out his purpose and do," and get this word here, "super abundantly, more than we dare ask." God wants us to talk to him about everything we're facing. He wants us to talk to him about the pressures and whatever we feel in life, no matter how small or insignificant you may think it is. I had something happen years ago, and you know, when I go talk to the Lord, I'm a little hesitant to talk to him about minor things. Do any of y'all get like that? Because we got such a vision and things we need to pray for. But we were actually up in the mountains, and a situation came up that's not important. And we needed a direction to go in, I'll say, and it looked like an impossible situation. And Alan Thomas was up there, and this is what he said: "If it concerns us, it concerns him." So it gave me the faith just to ask God a simple prayer, and in 2 hours, boom, that was solved. Now, it don't always happen like that, but God wants us to ask him about everything. He's able to do super abundantly more than we dare or ask, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers. That needs to sink in. Hopes or dreams. And this part here, according to the power that is at work within us. You know, I meditated on that. I'm not saying this is a thus saith the Lord necessarily. But I believe a great means of that power is just to believe him and trust that he can do the impossible. Actually, in our personal situation, things we're praying about. You know, I thought about situations in the scriptures where, I believe it was the Old Testament when it's talking about the wilderness, it says they limited the Holy One of Israel. And this was a hard issue. They just didn't believe God. They saw great things, but they just didn't believe him. And then you go to the New Testament, Jesus Christ himself, there were places he went. It says he didn't do many miracles. His hometown, I believe it was, people knew about him. He couldn't do much there because they did not believe him or had an attitude, a heart of a faith to believe that God could do this. Does anybody here ever struggle with that? When those mountains get so huge, and they're just not huge, and we sang a song about that, but they seem to grow larger and larger. And then I thought of the song. There's so many songs that it talks about expose Satan's lies and open up our eyes and give us faith to believe. There's many times for me where I need the Lord to help me. is I look at the mountains, and I believe that more than I believe God's word. Any of y'all ever have that problem? But I just wanted to share this scripture. I'm going to read it one more time. And as your week unfolds, as you think, go through things in life, now to him. And this is a faith, that power that works because of the love of God. Now to him who's able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly more than we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams, according to his power that is at work within us.
Praise God for his faithfulness, and praise God for his promise. The Lord cannot lie. That always encourages me, what Joel was just sharing there. A lot of times, the mountains that loom up in front of us, it's like a mountain of doubt. Does this really apply to me? Is it really for me? Is that, can I really lay hold of this and lay claim to it? But I shared something briefly at prayer meeting Wednesday night, but some other things have happened since then, and I just wanted to share this specifically with the church here. Because it's about vision, it's about prayer, and I think for a good number of years, the one thing I've heard requested is let's ask God to give us direction when it comes to ministry toward our community. The lost are still out there. The hurting are still out there. And you know what? When we are empowered through Christ, when we seek him, I recall this, that the Lord says to ask, but he also said we'd receive. There's an asking time, but there's a receiving time. There's a time when we seek God about something. In one of the Psalms, it said to pray and to wait expectantly. Should we wait expectantly? Should we be expectant toward God and his promise to us that if we would ask, we would receive? He says to knock and the door would be opened. He's the one that opens the door, and here's the thing, he is the door. So if we're talking to the door, if we're talking to Christ, and he has the power to open it, and he's invited us to do that, does he not mean to fulfill it? And so it doesn't matter if what you're praying for, like Joel was saying, sometimes we're laboring in prayer and we're waiting and we tend to have doubts, fears, and we forget that God has promised that he's going to answer our prayer. And a lot of times it's with patient continuance that we keep looking to him about whatever we're praying for. Is there anybody here had to really remain steadfast in prayer to get an answer? We all do. And that's part of faith. But, I had thought about the fact that we had prayed specifically for a number of years about our community, if the Lord would lead us in a particular direction. And, this verse here in Matthew 9, you can look it up later or now, whatever. It's chapter 9, verses 37 and 38. And Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields." So the Lord commands us to pray, because who is in charge of the harvest? It's not about us doing something. It's about us praying to the Lord of the harvest and ask him to send workers. And when you're talking about your community, the last thing you want to do is just do something. Because anybody can do something. There are churches that do something and they get some results, but are the results based on God answering prayer and fruit being born in that assembly? You know, anything can happen, but we're instructed to pray for the Lord of the harvest that he would send workers out. And, you know, I know the Lord has blessed us over the years to partner with certain ministries and give donations. And one of the reasons why is we see God doing just that somewhere over here or over there. You know, and so when we're led to give a donation, it's for a particular reason. We believe the Lord's working there, right? Otherwise, we wouldn't give a donation. And but I have noticed in the past number of years, it just seems like it's coming closer to home. And even lately, there's a house that's been just about finished and is really directed toward, I'll just say this, women that have been severely abused. And we were made aware of it. We're able to give toward that. And again, it's right near here. Brother Eric, who was here a couple of weeks ago, he's a local guy. And supernaturally or providentially, the Lord allowed us to meet him, fellowship with him, and then share in the vision that he has, because God gave him that vision. You know, and that's what makes it personal, you know, more personal to us. And for me personally, I know I've shared this before, but in the more recent past, you know, when the hurricane hit, Hurricane Helene, and it like late January, it came aground or whatever, and you know, it came up through the western part of our state. And I remember, you know, we liked traveling that area and all that, vacationing and such, but I'll never forget it. I'll tell you what, we need to be directed by the Holy Spirit. But he's got a voice, he's got a voice, and he speaks. And the more sensitive we are and the more we're seeking God for wisdom, the more prone we are to hear him when he speaks. And I was sitting, you know, we even gave a donation toward the recovery in that area here, and everyone supported that. And I had no thought about going. And I was sitting on the bottom of my the stairs in the house, putting my boots on, getting ready to go down the farm. And it was almost like the Lord spoke to me and said, "You need to go." And I was shocked because we're too busy. And I told my wife, I said, "I really believe I need to go there. Maybe just for a few days, but I believe the Lord laid it on my heart to go there." And so I went to the farm and I talked to Joel and said, "Man, I feel led to go." And he said, "Hey, support you in it." He said, "Hey, why don't you talk to Don Stalls?" Because he had said something to me about the same thing. And when I talked to Don, he had had the exact same thing happen with him. He said, "I almost felt compelled." You know, some of these tall people are very calm, like Phil there, just. Yeah. And Don said, "I almost felt compelled to go." But he was serious. And he said, "I could think of 1,000 reasons not to go, but I believe I need to go." That is the same way I felt. And what happened was, when we got there, and JP was there too, he had been there before we were. But the one thing I noticed personally is, you see, when ministry face-to-face with people, you saw reactions. You saw there was a great need here in this particular issue with what was going on. But you know, remember when the Lord said about throw the net out, you bring back in all kind of fish? But there's good fish in there. And we saw people who knew the Lord that maybe had drifted, and that whole disaster had got them to thinking. You saw people that knew the Lord and were walking with the Lord were just weeping because of the love being expressed, you know, and through actions. You saw people that didn't know the Lord that were thinking. And as the Lord was ministered to them, something's going on. And when we come face to face with people, you know, that's what Jesus did. He talked to them. He went to places nobody else would go. Did he not? When he was here, he went to people that were marginalized on the edges of society. Remember the blind guy that was, he was crying out for the Lord to help, and people saying, "Shut up, man." But he heard, and he turned around. He went to people who were afflicted. These people were hopeless. There was no other hope except Jesus Christ. But did he turn a deaf ear? He went to those people. And a lot of times ministry, it is encapsulated by there being a need, and maybe even a need for a particular group of people or an issue. And so, anyway, when I got that, I believe it was the Lord just telling me to go and urging me to go. And I experienced something by doing that I felt like I wouldn't have experienced otherwise. But my wife reminded me of a verse yesterday. She asked me, she said, "This is the way." She said, "What is that line from? This is the way." I said, "I think that's the Mandalorian." Yeah. She said, "No, the one in the Bible." And we looked it up. In Isaiah 30, it's in verse 21. "Whether you turn to the right or the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" Does the Lord intend to give us direction? Yes. I believe that. He didn't tell us to ask and say, "Well, don't think you're going to receive." No, ask and you will receive. And I think for years, a good part of this portion of this body has been praying, "Lord, help us." That's in our personal lives, collectively, and what we do here or there, or what possibilities may rise up. I mean, here we're coming into a new year. Do we need God to lead us? Yes. We do. Is the Lord still interested in those hopeless people? I believe he is. The harvest, you know, the harvest is there. There is a harvest that the Lord is still, you know, he's bringing people to himself, and you can see it. And I'm so thankful for that. But over the past few months, you might say, I've continued to pray, and I'm just sharing this with y'all. Somebody come behind me and say, man, you have missed the mark. Praise God. We're a church body. But, you know, one of the things about it, when you have something on your heart and you lay it out to the brothers and sisters, there's discernment within the body, right? There should be. There is. And so it's not just one person saying something and everybody goes home. Sometimes that's appropriate. But then other times, there's a functionality of the body that we need to see operating in here. Where there's, it's like this, you know. They're supposed to be speaking. They're supposed to be discernment. Anyway, so this is kind of might sound a little bit off the beaten track. But my wife and I, we were sitting on the couch one evening, and I was going through the YouTube. And there's this guy that we watch occasionally, and he goes through different parts in the United States. He's been to other countries. He's just one of those people that can talk to anybody. So he'll interview people, and he'll talk to them. He may go to the hood. He may go anywhere. And he's not afraid to talk to anybody. And he's a very personable kind of person, so he's easy to talk to. And he puts people's stories out there. But he was going into an area in Northern California on the coastline. It's called the Lost Coast. I don't know if anybody's heard of that. But it's an area in Northern California where the road, when they put the road systems in, they deemed it kind of inaccessible and too difficult to put the main road. So the main road went on around it and went further up, I guess, toward Oregon. And so if you go to that area, and it's a beautiful area, you got to go down back roads to get there. Well, that's the area he went, because, you know, it's pristine, beautiful property. They're still growing marijuana there. By the way, I mean, they legalized it, and it flooded the market. Now the market's crashed. It ain't worth near as much a pound now, especially once they legalized it. But anyway, he's going through that area, and he walks into a store. And this is where it got good for me. He walks into this old store, and there's this girl behind the cash register. And he says, why are you up here? And she said, I came here to get sober. She said, I was addicted to fentanyl. And she said, I was in 4 treatment centers in a year, and I could only go maybe 2 months, and I had no success. She said, but I came here. And he said, well, is it a ministry? She said, yes, Mountain of Mercy. And she said, she went on to say she had been set free. And she said, we depend on donations and we depend on God. You know, it was a blessing to me that out in the middle of nowhere, and this guy just happens to go through there and interviews this girl, and you see God working in an area that's so remote you would never find it. But is God faithful? He is. And even though it was a secular video, and the guy, he's not necessarily religious, you know, but I've noticed this. If he's interviewing somebody and they're a Christian, he has a healthy respect for them. I think that's good. You know, he even made a donation to there. But I got to thinking about how he went to ask her about her she was so addicted to fentanyl that she couldn't even walk. Drug addiction is still a very real issue. And so the more I thought about it, again, I'm just sharing this. I thought, Lord, which way would you direct us? And I've just continued to pray. But by the way, I had the thought. I said, I'm going to call that group in California and just talk to them. And I did. The guy's name was Timothy. And I told him that I had seen the video and the referral to the girl there and all. And we got to fellowshipping. And it was so wonderful. We got to talking about the Lord. And I asked him, I said, well, how's your donations going? He said, well, since Peter Santinella came by, he said, the offerings have just flooded in. Much of people saw that. He said, but I'll say this. We've been here for 20 years, and God has never let us down. He has always provided everything that we needed. And the reason why is because we're looking to God. And we got to talking. I can't put it into words. I wish I could record it. But we were having a wonderful fellowship. He said, I'm going to tell you something. God is in this conversation. I said, I've noticed that too, man. And we were, but it was wonderful. You know, anybody that has Christ in them, if you have Christ in you, you're immediately connected. And just totally spontaneous, I said, hey, have you ever thought about expanding to the state of North Carolina? He said, well, now that's a question for the headquarters there in New Jersey. He said, but give them a call. And we talked a little bit further, and so I went online. And I went to the place there, and it's in Norman, New Jersey, and found the number, and I called the guy. And I let him know that I had spoken with a group there in California. They have different names, but they're under one incorporated title or whatever. And I asked him, I said, I'm just blessed by what the Lord has done there and using you guys to do. And I just had a question. Would you be interested or, you know, think about the possibility of bringing and setting up somewhere in North Carolina? He said, well, I'll tell you what. He said, the original pastor founded this. That man came in there in the drug heyday in the late 60s. And he was in New Jersey, and he saw a real need in the youth. And so what he did is he started having prayer meetings in his home. But he purchased this old vacant building and started a ministry because he felt like God had led him to do it. And he'd been praying for 2 years. And he would come in there, people smoking, cigarette butts on the floor. And it's like, this is chaos. And he thought, oh, God, not only have I missed the Lord, I'm in the way. I'm in the way of God even doing anything. And so he said, you know what, I'm going to give up. I'm going to sell this building, and I'm going to get out of it. In the middle of the night, God woke him up and said, he said, like, get a pencil and paper. So he got out a pencil and paper and wrote down step by step what the Lord told him. He put it into action the next day, and from that point on, that ministry has been a success. And the success rate of these people being delivered from severe drug addiction is phenomenal. Why is that? That man was seeking God. You ask and you receive. And that was such a blessing to me. And so when I was relaying that to the guy in New Jersey, I said, man, that's quite a blessing. I said, so would you ever consider maybe coming to the state of North Carolina? He said, let me tell you this. The pastor started the first ministry right here. He said, but we have never gone anywhere and set anything up until someone calls and says, this has been on my heart. Our area may need this. Could you pray about it? He said, at that point, we start praying. So he said, we start praying, and they have like 20 locations. Every one that was set up wherever it was set up because someone had a heart and was praying and called and said, we're concerned. And that's where they went. And we were talking, and we had a great discussion. We agreed to this. If God's in something, he'll make a way. It doesn't matter the cost of the building, the ministry, and whatever. That's something I failed to mention. When that girl was being interviewed, he said, what do you think is so successful about it? And one of the things she said, the people there, they don't even get paid. And they're there because they're interested in you. And you see that they are concerned about you. Is that what Jesus is concerned about? Did he get paid? He didn't have a place to lay his head, but his heart toward people was so strong, and the spirit in him, it set people free. That's still at work. And that girl, she said, that's why when I graduated, I stayed here. That girl is still there. She's a counselor, and she's been free of fentanyl addiction for a year and a half. Praise God. Praise God. Well, so I was talking, this guy's name is Taylor. Anyway, I was talking about it, and we were even talking about the options, so forth and so on. And I didn't get too far in the details because I said, you know what? The Lord knows. He knows if there's something that he would even do in our community here. I don't know. And I didn't call him with any preconceived ideas. I just thought I'd fill him out and talk to him. And he said, I'll tell you what. He said, I'm going to be praying with y'all. He said, I want y'all to pray. He said, let's pray together and ask the Lord to give us direction. I kind of left it like that. And even just for curiosity's sake, I called. There's a lady, some of the people here know her. She's a Christian counselor. And I called her and her husband. They were riding in the car, and they had a speakerphone on. And, hey, Steve, how's it going? And I was talking to and sharing with them what my thoughts were. And this is what she told me. She said, I can assure you of this. There is a great need in this county for a Christ-based ministry toward drug addicts. Do you know the one thing that they will say, even in that group, it's not about therapy. It's not about recovery in that sense. It's not about rehabilitation. We need more than rehabilitation, because if we get back to where we are, we're still not full of Christ. And so what they do, and I probably didn't make enough notes or whatever, but they have a discipleship program within that ministry where they get them in, they pray with them, they start working with them, and they study the Word of God every single day. 5 days a week, they do it for 5 hours. That's like, well, that's too much Bible reading. I tell you what, we need Jesus. But their success rate is because it's based on and focused on Christ, and Christ is ministering to those people. There's a reason for that. You know, and so after I talked to Karen, she said that, she said there is a real need for that in this area. Anyway, I've been praying during this time, and I told the Lord one afternoon, I said, Lord, am I being too focused on what I'm saying and just looking at something and making it work out the way I want it to? Because, you know, your own mind can trick you, you know. We need each other. That's why we need discernment. And we need the Lord. We need His Holy Spirit. And I was thinking, Lord, even when it comes to a mission or a name, you know, it's not all about that. But Lord, sometimes it is a specific thing. And it reminded me of what He said. You prayed that His kingdom would come and His will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. If His kingdom is on earth, I don't care what it's titled. That has validity and it has power. And there's a need for missions and ministry that are anchored in Jesus Christ. When He told us to ask for it, and you know, it comes in different ways. It comes for us individually. You may talk to someone at school or work, and Jesus Christ can minister right through you to that person. That is ministry. And there's the other aspect of ministry where you may have some marginalized group that needs God. I mean, they really need God. And so, anyway, I've had several conversations with Mr. Taylor up there in New Jersey. Yes, and a good thing can come out of New Jersey. There's a good thing there. It's the Lord. And people are being delivered and set free. So anyway, I'll kind of go ahead and end this up. But Friday night, I woke up 2 o'clock in the morning. I guess it's Saturday because it was 2 o'clock in the morning. And have you ever been so convinced of something before and something's going on, and then you start doubting? I have. We all have, I guess. Even if it's the Lord. Either the enemy can say something to us and whisper, or our own minds whisper to us. But you know, sometimes the Lord will whisper and say, whoa. We need to be sensitive to the Lord. You know, so this was I got up the next morning. You know, doubting is not a good sleep inducer. But I went back to sleep. And when I got up, the sun hadn't come up. And I said, Lord, I'm going to sure have to talk to you. Because I feel like Joel started out with us praying about everything. The Word says don't be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. Is that needful? Yeah. It doesn't matter if it's complicated, it's simple. We need to hear the voice of God. And so this is my testimony, and this is how I'll sum this up. I went out to talk to the Lord and just say, Lord, is this just me? I don't know, but I'm kind of waffling here a little bit. But I need to hear from you. I don't even want to share this with anybody and waste anybody's time. I don't. You know, we can get in the way of God. I don't want to do that. I don't think anybody here wants to just do something. Does anybody here want to just do something? Mm-mm. So this is what I did. I started talking to the Lord. I said, Lord, is there a real purpose in this? And I stopped. And I thought about saying, by your silence, there is none. You know, sometimes it's just good to wait in prayer, to pray, to ask Him, wait in His presence, right? You ever had to do that? This is what happened. I'm getting ready to walk back to the house, and I had one fraction of a scripture come to me. And I'm going to share it here. Y'all judge it for what it's worth. And I thought it was in Isaiah. I can't remember if this is King James or what it is. This is what came to me. And no one delivers, and no one says restore. And I thought, where is that at? So I went in the house. I went in the house, and I looked it up. Okay, I'm going to read it. It is in Isaiah 42. This is verse 22 and 23. And this is the New King James Version. Because I was saying, Lord, in this particular group of people that I'm praying about, and this issue and this possibility, Lord, is this something you would do? And I know, you know, scriptures can have dual meanings, triple meanings. We don't need to limit the Holy Spirit as to how He speaks to us. He's going to speak through His Word, though, and He's going to confirm it with His Word. Is that true? This is the verse. I didn't even know where it was at, and I didn't hear the first part of this verse. I just heard that last line. I didn't hear it, you know, like audibly. But the Lord, the Holy Spirit has a way to speak to us to where it's louder than a voice and yet it's silent. It speaks to our heart. I know people here have heard that, right? If the Lord has spoken to you, you've heard that. But this is the people robbed and plundered. All of them are snared in holes. They are hidden in prison houses. They are for prey and no one delivers. For plunder and no one says restore. No one delivers and for plunder and no one says restore. Who among you will give ear to this? And when I read that, now this is, I'm putting this out before y'all. I wasn't even thinking about that scripture. Is it possible that the Lord is interested in this particular group of people and us participating in this as a ministry, maybe with other churches? I don't know. Is it possible that the Lord will lead us in that direction? I know one thing. We need to be directed by the Lord. And I'm gonna read it one more time. But this is a people robbed and plundered. All of them are snared in holes. They are hidden in prison houses. They are for prey and no one delivers. For plunder and no one says restore. Who among you will give ear to this? And I even thought about in the Old Testament when the Lord would be rebuking Israel or Judah. One of the things he talked to them about so many times is you've lost your sensitivity and you don't have a consciousness toward the people that are the most needy all around you. You're concerned about yourself, but you're not concerned about them. And he would say, you know, he would talk about justice and mercy, right? I don't believe there's anybody here that's not concerned about our community. I believe that we are reaching out the best we can. But there's always the heart of the Lord toward others and us going to others. And sometimes it is the marginalized sections of society. And this one specifically, I had on my heart. This was some of my thoughts, some of my prayers, and looking to the Lord about this. And I feel like the Lord, you know, encouraged me through the word. Oh, I forgot something. I came in and shared this with my wife. And I thought, I really believe, you know, we have to, you know, we got to judge things if it's correct or not. And I thought, I'm going to share it with one of the brothers. I called Joel, and I think his phone must have been in the back room because he did not answer me. Now I thought, I'm going to call the guy with the 4-foot beard, JP. And I did. He stops me. He said, hey, before you say anything, I got to tell you something. What I'm going to talk to you about is God specifically answering prayer while you're praying. Well, you can be the judge. But I said, man, that just happened to me, I think. And he said, he read the account of Abraham's servant going to get a wife for Isaac. And he goes up to that well and says, Lord, show me favor in your servant. And if Lord, I'm asking you that when a girl comes out, if it's the one for Isaac, that she'll offer water and she'll give the camels drink to. She'll offer to even, you know, give water to all the camels. And while he was yet praying, she came out. Did that happen? Can it happen now? So I know this, I don't know if somebody may think, man, that guy's lost his mind. That's all right. Praise God. I got an answer from the Lord, I felt. And then I had confirmation. And my brother there, he even before, I didn't even tell him what I was going to talk to him about. But it was about seeking God and then God answering specifically. Does that make sense? I think I've said enough, so I'm going to sit down, and all I can say is, everybody here, feel free if you know, want to add to that or have a thought toward that. I just wanted to share that with everybody.
I appreciate what has been shared this morning, and I know I shared a particular testimony when I first came here, 2011, 2012, and it was about a situation I was in, and I was in Lake City. I did not know where to go. I didn't know what was going on. Pretty much my life had been ripped out from under me, and I didn't know what the heck was going on. And I wasn't praying about it. I didn't even know the Lord was working on me, but he was. And I don't know what precipitated me going to this place in Lake City, but like I needed some direction. And I didn't even know at the time it was a Christian-based place for help, like for food, and I guess they gave you things for if you needed a hotel night, a night in a hotel, whatever. And I just went there because I was like, oh my goodness, what is going on? And I remember going there and sat, and there were so many people there. And at the time, I was not a fan of crowds of any kind. Like, more than three people was a crowd and sounded like a stadium. And so I was kind of freaking out and having some anxiety. And when my name was called, I went over there and talked to the lady. And she started asking me a couple questions here and there, and I answered to the best of my ability, but I could feel a panic attack coming, and I was like, oh, geez, this is not okay. And I told the lady, and her name is Shirley, I remember to this day. I told her, I said, I'm sorry if I'm kind of freaking out here. I'm having an anxiety attack. So if I just get up and walk away and walk out of here, it's not you. And she said, well, would you like me to pray with you? And it's possible when I was sitting there having my freak out, I was probably somewhere subconsciously being like, God, can you please help me here? Because I really don't want to just spaz out and all that sort of thing. But it's possible I was. But he knew. He knew what I needed. I didn't even know to ask. Maybe I did. Maybe I did ask. I'm not sure. But I know I didn't know I needed. And she said, can I pray for you? And I'm like, right here? She said, yeah. And so she sat there and prayed for me. And then that opened the door to, eventually, I came here. But you can't put, I don't even know the word I'm trying to say. You don't know the impact that you can have on someone who is in this kind of situation. Like, I know Mom and Jim prayed for me, and I know other people prayed for me, I'm sure. But that lady, who was a complete stranger, saw me in my time of need, and she wasn't thinking about, oh, this girl needs some food or a place to live or whatever. She knew I needed Jesus. And at the time, it did not occur to me what was happening. But sitting here listening to Joel talk about, or Joel and Steve, about, you know, what they just talked about. And I've thought about it over the years. That lady knew what I needed. And obviously, the Lord has put this on Steve. And we should pray about it, because there are people in need. And there is nothing like going into a place in a crisis, and you don't know what is going on, and somebody says, can I pray for you? Can I pray with you? I think that's what she said, can I pray with you? And you don't know if it's going to lead anywhere, but if you don't do it, it's not going to lead anywhere. So I just wanted to share that from a different perspective. Like, you just don't know. You don't know what something like that can do for somebody. So, but I'm thankful to be here today. I still have my crisis moments. But I know the Lord has me. And I just appreciate all of y'all. And I love y'all.
I thought of something as Steve was speaking this morning. If you turn to Judges chapter 7, and this is kind of in the middle of the part about Gideon, and of course most of you know the story, but it was a time when the Philistines were attacking and God had come to Gideon, sent a messenger to him and said, I've chosen you, I'm going to use you to deliver my people from the Midianites. And Gideon was like, what are you talking about? Who am I? I'm not even anybody important in my own family, much less, in the country. But the story of how he kind of said, well, he was reluctant. He was nervous. He's like, this is a big thing you've put before me. I don't feel capable of doing it. And so, he asked God, let me kind of do the test and let me see if this is really you. So, he put the fleece out on the ground and said, well, let it be wet on the ground like with the dew, but let the fleece be dry. And then the next day it was, okay, now let's do it the other way and make sure it wasn't a fluke. And, he did a couple of different things. And so God faithfully answered. He didn't rebuke him for his lack of faith or say, well, I'm done with you. He understood where Gideon was at. And he met him, he was faithful, he proved that, yes, this is really me speaking to you to go do this thing. He had got to that point, but he had already, got the men together. He was, this was actually after God had already cut down the army. You know the story, they got together as many people as they could, which makes perfect sense under the circumstances. And one test after another, God did a couple of things and sent a big chunk of them home where he was just down to his little 300 people. So already being nervous about it now, he's it's kind of like what Steve was talking about. You hear a voice, there's some confidence, you move in it, and then you have that doubt come in like, oh, wait a minute, is this really the Lord? So he got down to this little group, and he was kind of feeling that way, I think. But if you go in Judges 7, and then in verse, let's see, I guess it's in the middle of verse 8 there. So it says, now the camp of Midian lay below him in the valley. In verse 9, he says, during the night, the Lord said to Gideon, get up, go down against the camp, because I am going to give it into your hands. But this just shows the faithfulness and the mercy of God and how much he understands where we're at. He said, I'm going to give it into your hands, but if you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant, Purah, and listen to what they are saying. Afterwards, you will be encouraged to attack the camp. So he and Purah, his servant, went down to the outpost of the camp. The Midianites, the Amalekites, and all the other eastern peoples had settled into the valley thick as locusts. Their camels could no more be counted than the sand on the seashore. So Gideon arrived. Now this is what he hears when he shows up down there. Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. So these are two of the Midianite soldiers, the enemy soldiers talking. And one of them said, I had a dream. A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp, and it struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed. His friend responded, this can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands. So here's God giving, he'd already done all these miracles to prove to it, but now that doubt feeling's coming in, and then God spoke again in a very special way and said, I'm going to encourage you to go forward and to move in what I've given you to do. And so he hears these enemy soldiers talking about this. It says, when Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he worshiped God. So then what did he do? So God spoke to him personally. Then he returned to the camp of Israel and called out, get up, the Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands. So God had proven that and bore witness to him, he was able to go and tell his people, hey, be encouraged. God is really in this. He's really with this, So God is well able to do that. He is well able to speak and encourage us in a way to move when we might feel reluctant or not sure about it. And I appreciate that because we do need to hear his voice, don't we? Just like Abraham's servant, we need to be led. He didn't just want to go find a wife for Isaac. He wanted to find the one. The one that God had in mind. And, it's interesting. If you actually go read that, let's go over there real quick to Genesis. It's in Genesis 24 where all that happened. But I was thinking about that because you mentioned, JP mentioned in this. And so, of course, he kind of explained what happened. The servant said, well, let it be that when I say, can I have something to drink? And she offers of her own, volition. She says, well, yeah, here's something to drink and I'll get water for your camels too. That'll be my sign that this is the one. And, of course, Rebecca came and did that. And so he went back to the house with her and he was telling this to her father and brother, I think it was. So the servant is relaying all this to them because obviously he's about to ask if this girl can go back with him and marry this guy that he doesn't know. So he's trying to lay out why I'm here and why I'm asking you this. So he kind of repeats the whole story of everything that happened. And then in verse 50, Laban and Bethuel answered, "This is from the Lord. We can say nothing to you one way or the other." You know, he's like, number one, this is from God, so my saying yes doesn't make it any more valid, and I'm sure not going to say no if it's from God, because what good would that do to say that? He's like, that's the simple truth of it. If God's in a thing, there is no yes or no. I mean, there is no, you know, one way or the other. It's, we need to do things his way, and we need to be led by him. But, you know, in this case here, so they were willing to let her go, but then kind of the next morning, same thing, they were kind of thinking, well, you know, I don't know if we should we really let her go. They were nervous. Well, let her stay here 10 days, and then she'll go. And the servant's like, no, God told me this. He bore witness. He moved. Let's not hinder that. Let's move in what God did. Then he said, down in 57, they said, okay, well, let's call the girl and ask her about it. So they called Rebecca and asked her, will you go with this man? I will go, she said. She was convinced that this was God. So she was able to even entrust an unknown future to a person she didn't even know and yet say, if this is what God put before me, if this is his will, this is the best it could ever be. This is the best, most perfect it could ever be to be in the center of his will. Yes, I'm willing to do it. That's what I believe we need to be praying for, this, that God will show us. And if this is his path for us to be involved in this in some way, for this to come here, even if it's to come here and we're not directly involved, who knows? Whatever it is, if God's going to move in this way, we need to be backing it up with prayer and then have the confidence that if he's in this, he will show us, he'll bear witness to it. And the fact that it does encourage me, Steve, that the way God has spoken and that he's moved, it may well be something he's got for us, but whatever it is, the thing is, let's back it up in prayer. Let's cover it in prayer and have that same attitude that, hey, if this thing is from the Lord, there's no yes or no to be said. It's just, let's be in the middle of his will.
Their goal is for the community, the local community, the church, and the churches to participate in the Bible studies, the teaching, the prayer, the singing, and to really to be turned over to the community.
Yeah.
Where it's set up. Now, they may keep a director there, that if there's no hard, fast rule, but it is put there so that the community can participate in this kind of ministry.
Yeah, because that's where the ongoing support and encouragement is going to come from. So, praise God, it's something to pray about, because if God brings it and opens a door, then I tell you what, he's going to bless it. You know, we've talked often before about the occasion where Paul wanted to go into Bithynia and preach, right? He was just going around wherever he was led, and he felt, okay, this is the next place. And God said, nope, not that way, not there. And he wasn't trying to do anything wrong. He wanted to go share the gospel. But God said, no, not here, not now, actually over here. Over here in Ephesus, that's where you need, or the Philippi rather, that's where you need to go, because that's the place he had been working to prepare hearts. And when Paul got there, Lydia was there, some of the other ladies. He, of course, they, you know how they got thrown in the jail. He met the jailer's family. God had prepared hearts so that when he moved, as God opened that door, there was fruit from it. Whereas if he had just barged on into Bithynia and done it anyway, there wouldn't have been fruit, because that's not where God was moving and working at that moment. Now later, certainly the gospel did go there too. But that's why it's so important to hear his voice and be in the center of his will in this and ask him, because when we move into what he's already prepared, just like Gideon, 300 people, that's all it took, and took down the whole camp, so thick that you couldn't even count the camels. It says they were like locusts in that valley. But God took out that whole camp with his 300 people because he had prepared that. And if we move where God has prepared things, there will be fruit. And that fruit is eternal, because whatsoever God does, he does forever, right? The things that he brings about, that's our privilege to be a part of that. So let's do indeed cover this in prayer and thank God for the encouragement and the way he's speaking this morning.
Praise God. I appreciate the Lord sharing with us there this morning. I had several scriptures I took screenshots of while I was reading yesterday and sent to after Steve had called me. But on hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." And that was the last scripture that I read. It was in the end of my reading yesterday. And, you know, the Lord, I believe, is moving. And I'm just going to share something. I may have shared this before, and if I have, forgive me. But it's a dream I had a long time ago, probably 4 or 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago. I can't remember. And I hope this is Lord, but just cannot get it off my mind. I've never been able to get it off my mind, but I was asleep. I was dreaming, and I remember I was standing there, and I was awake, and, man, it was just dark.
I mean, it was darkness like you had never seen before. And, you know, I think we've heard a lot about the hour that we're living in and how late it is. And I had, I saw this line of young people. It was mostly all young people. I mean, as far as you could see that. And they were headed to this, it was like almost a prison, but there was a door on it, and there was a lever. There was a dude sitting there with that, and they were just they were walking right down into this thing. And I knew what it was. I mean, it was a fiery pit is what it was. And I was standing there. I was like, oh, my gosh, man. And I was trying to speak. I was trying to say the name Jesus. And when I went to speak, I couldn't say a word. I was going, man, I couldn't say anything. And the scripture came to me, he has given authority over all the enemy. And what I could see was a figure, it just had red around. I don't know if you've ever seen the Emperor off of Star Wars. It was kind of like his shadow. Couldn't see a face, but just red around him. I knew that was a prince over a certain area. That we've heard of princes that, who was it that prayed? Daniel. Yes, I heard your prayer. But the prince of Persia has withstood me. And that's what this was. And I couldn't speak. And I remembered that scripture. The word of God came to me. And I started saying the name Jesus. It came out. And then I started shouting and shouting and shouting. And as I began to do that, it was almost like this huge building was there. It was like an apartment complex or something. And lights started coming on. Like outside of a house, lights were coming on. Boom, boom. And there was ladies walking out with their children, and they could all of a sudden they could see what was going on. And that was about the end of my dream. But as we spoke the name of Jesus, the lights began to come on, and people could see what was going on. And this was about the same time that y'all remember that song, I Speak the Name of Jesus. It was right after I had that dream, I heard that song for the first time, and it was brand new. So I saw a connection there, but man, we live in a late hour. And just the fact, you know, it was just speaking the name of Jesus was setting, it was allowing people the light to come on and see what was truly going on. So in light of everything that has been shared, I just wanted to share that the Lord would give us the boldness to remember who we are, that we are the children of God, and that we have the right to speak the name of Jesus to people. Because the enemy would love to stop us. We're nothing. I'm the first to tell you, I'm nothing. But God has rescued me from the dominion of darkness. Amen. And that is a miracle. And you know, sin, man, sin can take us further than we want to go, keep us longer than we want to stay. But Jesus Christ is still in the saving business. Yes. And there is a specific thing here I believe the Lord's calling us to. So let's be sensitive as we do pray. And, you know, we have been praying this. If you've been with us in prayer collectively, you know we've been praying for this community for a long time. It's been years. God, show us what to do. You know, there's always a preparatory work that's going on because things aren't happening, right? When we're praying, we don't think. But God is working in our hearts. And I need him to continue to work in my heart every single day. So, you know, let's bind together. Let's ask the Lord to help us. You know, where we've been, maybe you've been stagnant in prayer or whatever. Just start by talking to the Lord, man, just like he's standing there. And, you know, my prayer time is different. I've asked the Lord a lot to help me with that. Well, you know what he does for me? It's in the middle of the night. He wakes me up. So, but I know this. I thank God that he's answering prayer. He's answered that prayer for me because it is a lifeline that none of us can live without and live a victorious Christian life without being connected to him. So I appreciate what's been shared here. I wanted to share that dream there because I don't know if I'd ever shared it with everybody. I'd shared it with a couple brothers over the years, and it's been something that's been, you know, it's just that's the hour that we live in. We need to be speaking the name of Jesus, and we don't need to be afraid of what you know, how beautiful are the feet of them bring good glad tidings on the mountains, I think is how that scripture goes. Jesus is on the mountains. He's walking over the mountains. He's walking on the storm. He is right there with us. So I was just going to share that. I appreciate what's been shared, and I hope that this doesn't take away. Praise God.
I appreciate what's been said. I don't know what if I'm going to say is Lord or not, or what direction leans anything. I know that we can ourselves can do nothing without God's help. You can try everything you want to save somebody, but if God ain't in it, you can be as right as you want to be. But you really got to have God, especially in this situation where we're talking about drugs and all this thing. But I just want to share a story, and the story's true, and it's with my own family, and it's about my brother Ricky, who's here, who's in the body, and so it has a good ending, but there's a journey there. And it has to do with what this, you know, the subject here is tonight, and the need for help and help with spiritual help, you know, to help the people and the need out here that they're talking about. But when my brother had an issue, you know, we didn't know what to do. And he was in the hospital here, and I'm hoping I'm embarrassed. I don't think I am. I think he probably would have something to say, but, you know, you go to the place and they go to the hospital, and then you got to find them another place. And then, you know, you're like, you know, what are we going to do? You know, you got to find it. And there's all kinds of logistics. You know, you got to think with things like this funding, how, you know, the place you go, how's it going to be paid for? And you know, it can get overwhelming, and somebody's got to make a decision. And I was kind of put in that position to make a decision. So the hospital helped us find a place in Alabama, and we went, you know, so bam, you know, as soon as Ricky got out, you know, and you got to make quick decisions because you don't want nobody to go back to the same environment where they're at, because that doesn't help the problem, you know. So as soon as he got out, I threw him in the car, and we hauled to Alabama because that was really our only choice at the time. So we get there, and go in there, and it's a Christian-based facility there, real, but it's a government-funded, basically Christian facility. So they take you in there, and you do a counseling. They sit down with you, and the first thing they do is they give you a list of rules, and you can't call God. It's a higher power. So you got to reach your higher power, and it's right there in black and white, and, you know, and this is a Christian facility, but it says, you know, they don't say God or Christ. It's, if it's federal funding, it's your higher power. And, you know, we're sitting there and we're talking, and there's a nurse in there with us. And she's been there 30 years. And this place started out as a Christian-based facility, started by the church that was there, and it grew. And then, you know, I guess it became a business, basically. She'd been there 30 years, and she was when everybody left and got out of the room, the administrator, and she was in there, and she was just, you could tell she'd been there, and she was a praying woman. She could tell she prayed for people, and she probably didn't want to leave there because it had changed so much to the higher power theory. I think she just endured it because she wanted to help people. You know, when we went through that process, and I say that just so you know how a facility that says it's Christ and it's coming from reaches a higher power, because they can't say Christ. They can't say God anymore because it's all about money. But when we got there, Ricky stayed there 30 days, and he said he got a lot of help there. And there were a lot of good people coming from the church community helping that, but it was a big facility. And then he got through that 28 days, you know. And it's like that girl said that Steve was talking to, you know, you've been through 5 different rehabs, and that's what happened. They throw you through 28 days or whatever, and they say you got it, but then you know you move out, you either go back home or you go somewhere else. And then you know, a lot of these places too, another thing is they use drugs to get you off drugs. You know, that's the worst thing. And medication too is a drug addiction too. Well, the doctor has made a lot of drug addicts. It's not just illegal drugs that's affected a lot of people. It's medication that our doctors are giving us too. So it's really hard, you know, if your mind's addicted, you know, you need to get cleansed of your mind. You know, the Lord comes in your heart. But if your mind never gets back to where you can, you know, feel that draw in your heart to answer your mind, but you need a drug to feel comfortable. And it can be alcohol too, and it could be anything, it's all about, the addiction. You need to clear your mind. And in a lot of these other facilities, I knew Ricky had very, not just prescription medications, but everything. He's lucky to be alive. He's a blessing to me to see him back there right now. And the thing is that, they ship you to somewhere else. And of course, it's pay. Things got to be done, logistics. And the first thing they do is they want to get back on drugs again to get you off drugs. So, and this is probably where my story really begins, is that me and Erica were put into the decision-making process of helping Ricky. And we were sinners. We just want the Lord's will, and we want to help. But you can't help nobody without God's Spirit coming in. In these kind of situations, you can have the biggest rehab in this county, and they leave 2 weeks later, and they're on drugs again. That's why there's such a need. She was telling me, so you need to watch this thing about Dr. Field. And Dr. Field did some thing about how, God bless him. It was true, about how they'd use fentanyl and everything to get people off drugs, and people were getting more addicted from that than the actual drugs themselves. It was the hamster wheel. And it was all this money being spent and nobody's getting any help. And so I told Erica, and I said, we really need to find a place that is spiritual based, that uses God's word and not drugs to get people off drugs. Because I don't know what percentage is. I don't even get involved. I just telling you the story. It just amazes me how stupid I am, but I feel like I have enough common sense to realize you don't use drugs to get people off drugs, because they never get to clear in their mind. You never get where, it's just altering. And then you see so many people that has done that so long, and it's just like they're not there anymore. It's sad. But we were praying. I said, Erica, we got to find a Christian base. And she started searching, and bam, Miracle Lake popped up. And it was just like, Miracle Lake? Man, that sounds good already, Miracle Lake. And we need a miracle, The last thing I wanted is my brother to come back here and go back the way he came. And we're looking, there's financial things. There's all these things that we worry about, God don't worry about. He'll make a way where there is no way. It'll be at the time when we feel like it's a done deal. He'll make a way. Because I know I cannot do nothing in myself. It had to be all the Lord. And she called up there, and this guy Byron, he was the director, and we started. And it was just, man, just from the beginning that phone call was made, you could tell the feel that the Spirit was there. There was a load dropped. And it was just one thing after another, because when Ricky got out of there, I wanted him to go. I didn't want him to come back here. I wanted to take his butt. Get him somewhere else, because there were people looking for him here. They are. The devil comes after you. People just don't, they're looking for you. They're the friends. So you got to think about that too when dealing with that, who the friends really are. It just so happens. It just happens. But, Lord works in mysterious ways. It just happens. There was an opening. And bam, he could, they only take so many people. They do have a charge, but it was nothing for what it was. And it was so, from the time we got there, it was just, it's basically volunteer. They don't lock you in. You can pack your bags and walk out the door. And the old man that started there, he was old, and they just, the same thing. They just pray with people every day. You know, Ricky could probably give you more, you know, about the itinerary or what they did. But, it, you know, he tells you they just preach the word of God and love them. And then they work on them, you know. They make them chores and give them things to do. Everybody has a process because, you know, you need to idle minds, the devil's workshop. You need to go to work, do something. You need to be productive, you know, not sitting on the couch and watching TV. And they don't have a TV, and they got yard work and everything to do, but it worked. And I remember him setting Ricky down in the kitchen, and he had his Bible there. His name is Byron. He still runs the place now. They've grown, and they're basically everything they came is from churches and volunteers, just like you said. All the money came from other things, and they got a large group, but their success rate was phenomenal. I mean, when God's word gets in you and people's minds get cleared and they realize there is joy in life and sorrow, you know, you can have joy in times of sorrow. You can have peace in a raging storm. You know, we sing the songs, we live our lives, and, you know, this world and this day and this time does everything to attack our families, our people. Nobody is out of this. You know, you can look around and say, oh, I got my family and we're all good and everything. Get ready. I wouldn't even say it. Times are coming. We're an attack of Christian people are attacked. And families are attacked to try to break it down. And every old, young, new, it doesn't matter. But if Christ is in it, like Steve said, if the Spirit of the Lord is in it, there is a change. And when that change comes, you can see it. And Ricky left there and went to another place. But I just had to get up and say this, that it's a need. And and these people in these places that do that have a lot on their hands. They really pray and they work. Because, you know, if you're looking for personal results for your ego or pride saying that, God, I helped that person. Like I say, I helped my brother get off drugs. No, I did not. The Lord, you know, we just used what we had. If anybody helps, my mother prayed all the time for him. And there was nothing, all the things that we as a family and brothers did to help them, there's nothing to what God does. And you had to put people in that spiritual place where they can clear their mind up to get help. And if the Lord leads this way, you know, it's, I know he will lead, he will guide. But I just felt like I needed to give this story because there is fruit and it's right there. He's standing right there. He's a blessing to me. He's got a big mouth, but he's a blessing to me. And he's a blessing to my mom. And this is a true story. This is not made up. But if the Lord leads the church that way, you know, I just felt like I had to say it because I love the Lord. Every day I just asked him, you know, to give me this day my daily bread and forgive me my trespasses. And to say, you know, the Lord don't expect us to know it all. He just wants us to surrender and just let him have his way. So I just pray the Lord to have his way, and I hope this helps.
Well, the whole time I've been back there since Brother Steve said rehab program is, Lord, do you want me to say anything? Do you want me to get up and say anything about this? And my intention was not that Reggie got up here. And, I was thinking about what could I say? And I said, Lord, what do you want me to say? And one thing kept repeating over and over in my mind. And it was what a preacher said up there one time. And he said, whatever you do, he said, pray about it and move slowly. And the Lord will light up the way. If you just take one step and it's dark, then you wait till it gets light. And that's the way you move forward. That's in our lives, period. You know. But me personally, I'm all for the idea, but don't go by what I say. Yes, the deed is great. But it's something you're going to go into that is very easy to fail in if you don't have the Lord. Amen. And it's very easy to get discouraged if you don't have the Lord. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you one thing from personal experience. Once you get in the mud, every minute of every day, you're going to be wanting to quit. You're going to be wanting to quit. But you look for the Lord in prayer to keep you going. And once you really see a life be changed, there is absolutely nothing like it in the world. There is nothing that compares to a changed life. And I can honestly say for 7 years doing it, that's why I did it. I did it for that because that's how I got paid, but the other reason why I done it was because the Lord told me to. And the Lord told me to be where I'm at right now. And I'll be there until the Lord tells me something different. Because that's the way the Lord works. And I'm confident of this. He always knows how to get me there. I actually, if you ask me about this, and I feel pretty good about it, to be honest with you. But don't go by what I said. Go by what the Lord says. There's nothing like witnessing a changed life.